Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guess what I'm drinking?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Nope.
Oh.
This is a Budweiser Heavy.
Okay. Budweiser Heavy.
Gotta get that diesel.
It's a normal Budweiser. It's called a Budweiser Heavy.
Yeah. Oh, it's
delicious.
This is all we had in the fridge, so.
Oh, is it skunky?
It's not skunky.
Skunky?
It just tastes like Budweiser, which is.
Oh. I mean, I've never had a problem with it.
Yeah, it's a lager, you know, hard to complain. Are you ready to begin the show?
I'm ready to begin the Crunch Podcast. The Crud Podcast.
this Budweiser is heavy. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's a little worried about starting to do lunges. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. I thought you were going to say, welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that thinks we should all take this coronavirus thing a little more serious. I don't know. This seems like it's going to be a big thing. I don't know. You guys heard of this yet?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd ask me. It was a two-parter. I was hoping you'd ask me about what I said, but instead you made your own joke.
I'm sorry. Let's go back to your lunges. Let's just... go back right back up. What? Why did you make that joke?
Well, it just would be a big step forward.
See, usually how you
come on, you gotta let me tell my joke instead of just stomping over me like some kind of comedy troll.
So the thing is, no, here's the thing. When I pitched that bit to you where you say, "Welcome to the Crunch, the only podcast that blank." That was supposed to be the joke, not the setup for a punchline. Well,
but this time it's different. Like sometimes it's you got to mix it up.
I see.
I feel like
so. Your plan was to set up a joke.
Yes.
Without in the place where I was expecting a joke, and you were expecting me to just be like, "I'm sure there's going to be a joke eventually."
Well, I thought so.
Actually, no, that's fair. I should have expected.
Yes,
this.
I was.
This is on me.
It is.
I'll take the L on this one.
I really mean it when you are a comedy troll, because I feel like every time I'm trying to make a joke, I have to pay the tax. Patrick comes out from under the bridge and says, "What if you told my joke instead and also gave me $50 on Patreon?"
And then Ethan's like, "My big brother, the medium-sized Billy Goat Gruff, is much tastier than me."
Yes. Please give all of your feedback to him and not to me.
Please give all of your feedback to my brother, the bigger Billy Goat Gruff.
Please, sir, let me cross your bridge so that I can tell my stupid lunge joke. I'm going to lunge across your bridge, taking these big steps. Anyway, thank you.
That's on me.
No, I forgive you.
Thank you.
I should have warned you before the podcast. I should have said, "Hey, roll with me on this.
Roll with me on this."
But I think it's more fun because now we have this. Someone out there is drawing fan art right now of me crossing a bridge, and you under the bridge, hurling jokes at me.
Just make sure that when you make fan art of this podcast, you have to. I promise my mustache does connect to my beard. You have to make it connect. If you don't make it connect, it looks like I've got like boogies under my nose. That's what it looks like.
Has there been fan art of you where it doesn't connect?
Yeah, someone made fan art, but my beard didn't connect. So I looked silly.
How big of a fan are they, really?
I mean,
if they're not connecting your mustache to your beard,
they were big enough fans to draw us.
That's true.
So I was incredibly honored, and it was my lock screen for
the top 1% of the top 1%.
We need some fan art in the Discord. Please put some fan art in the Discord.
We can joke about fan art, but we can't earnestly request fan art because then it wouldn't.
Sure, you can.
Then it's a commission. Now it's a it's.
No.
Yes,
we want fan art.
I don't.
Don't you don't need to draw pictures of us.
Don't draw pictures of me. You can draw pictures of Patrick to your heart's content.
I want you to draw Kadir John. I want you to draw Eleazar. You can draw Dr. Ethan's dating corner. You can draw like stills from the Dr. Ethan's dating corner. You can draw a guy getting shot in both of his legs 11 feet up on Stanwyck Street or whatever the bit was.
This feels very much like, how can we get more of our listeners to do more free stuff for us?
That is what it feels like, but that's not what that is. That what is. It is, but in an,
that is what it feels like. Also, it's also what it is, and also yes.
But it's not wrong. Uh-huh. It's just fun.
Yeah.
See, I can't draw these things. Like, this is what I was thinking.
Maybe we should do fan art.
I'm so bad at drawing.
I am too, but I think that would be more fun.
I'll like force my brother to do fan art. He used to do animations, and they were very good.
Oh. Hmm.
They were like he used to have these little cartoon characters he would draw, and like seriously think they could be webcomics if he published them. They have like a cute little like personality to them, and it's a unique design and it's fun. But I was thinking, remember how like animated.
Mm-hmm.
Animated segments of podcasts were a thing. Like you send me something from a Bam Bam or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would love it if we could do that.
We did it for a minute. Somebody was doing it for us. I don't remember who.
No, someone was doing animated words.
Oh, you're talking.
Someone,
oh, you're
yeah,
like actual
I mean like,
drawings
like animations,
of us
yeah.
talking. Yeah.
Yeah. Alex was doing, I don't know if he still listens. Shout out Alex.
Yeah.
He was doing that for us for a while.
Yeah. That
was cool.
Remember that season?
That was cool.
It was interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. I just didn't know how to keep it going. I just didn't know what was up.
I didn't really understand. I still don't really understand the organization that he works for and how, one, how it's funded, and two, why they were willing to give us money and put us on the Catholic speaking circuit.
But they didn't have the power to do that. That wasn't what it was.
But he promised us that. He used that to lure us in.
Hmm.
I feel like we were this close to being a part of a Catholic pyramid scheme with that.
No, there was no, I remember having conversations with him and I was like, there's no commitment on our side, right? And he's like, yeah, there was no commitment on our end.
Sure. But there's also no commitment on their end because they stopped doing stuff for us.
Yeah, there was a good, there was, so, a, it was a, it was a fun time
yeah,
while it lasted.
That's what I mean. It was just like, man, I feel, I already had abandonment issues once, you know, I didn't really need them again from some guy on twitter.com.
Ethan, how would you feel if you listened to a podcast for 5 years and you were like, I wonder if those guys remember me, and then just 4 years later, out of nowhere, they just start dunking on you on the show you listen
to? I'm not dunking on Alex. I think Alex was great. I have questions about who he worked for.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know who he worked
for. That's all I'm saying. And I also don't know what their goal was or what their aims were and why they were helping. Like, I just don't. I was young and dumb and full of.
And full of aerosol cheese.
I like how. Most people just call that whiz cheese or cheese whiz.
Yeah.
You call it aerosol cheese.
Yeah, it's aerosol cheese.
Which gives it some scientific allure. You know?
Gee, I forgot the name for cheese whiz.
It's aerosol cheese. I don't know. What was I talking about? Have you heard about this thing going on with Twitter?
No.
Patrick Nevy.
Oh, you mean Elon buying Twitter? The worst thing that I could imagine. Someone on Discord was like, why is it that bad? I'm like, honestly, I don't know. It doesn't really matter, but it is bad. I don't care.
Oh, I love how upset it makes you. I think it's great. Great for the platform. Great for free speech. You know? What? Don't roll your eyes at
me. Oh, sorry. That wasn't... could you hear that through the podcast? Me rolling my eyes?
What do you not think it's good for free speech?
Oh my gosh. Free speech is like if you say tradition at a Theology on Tap, everyone just like nods.
They're
and
like,
it's
yes.
like, yeah, that's a super
yes,
important thing.
We need that.
Yeah, that's a really,
yeah, for sure.
really care about like ressourcement, you know, that's very important. Free speech, fine. You know, free speech costs $43 billion, whatever, you know?
Are you upset about the number? I don't understand what part of it you're upset about.
So, I mean... first of all, I'm upset at Twitter for existing and doing what it does.
Okay, sure, fair.
I'm also upset that one person is capable of buying it.
Okay.
I'm also upset about that.
That's fine.
And I'm upset that one of the first things that he does is make fun of another billionaire. It's like, okay, fine.
I've just been checking and seeing what he's up to. He's posting memes like about... current Twitter employees and about how they like have this unhealthy bias and is like posting Joe Rogan references and memes and all these things. It's just kind of, I am neither like, I'm not a Elon boy. I don't want a Tesla. I really don't care about SpaceX. I'm perfectly content to die on this planet. I don't feel the need to die on a different planet.
In fact, I think you should die on
In fact, I think if you have... Go to Mars, great, but just come back to die, really.
Some would say this is a hill I'm willing to die on.
A perfectly spherical hill.
It's a perfectly spherical hill floating on the back of a turtle, on the back of four elephants, on the back of another turtle.
I don't think that going to space is going to solve any of our problems. If anything, it's going to exacerbate them. Can you imagine you go to space, right?
Sure.
You're in a colony on Mars. There's how many people would be in a colony on Mars, you think?
At least two.
Okay.
And they're all men, because men are from Mars, Ethan.
Men are from Mars. You go to Mars. Are they going to have the internet up there? Probably not.
No.
You know?
The internet is satellites.
So I just, like, let's say you're on you're in Mars and you're in high school and you just don't like anybody in your class. Like, you can't find a girlfriend. There's no other high school. You can't say, like, oh, I have a girlfriend. She goes to another school. There's no other school.
She lives in Mars, Canada.
She lives in Mars, Canada. You don't know her. Oh, how'd you meet her? I met her online. There's no internet.
There's
right?
No internet.
Like, you just, I just can't imagine. Like, people will go there and they'll be like, frick, all the old stuff that I used to use is done.
You're telling me that the advances of the technocratic future solving problems will only create more problems that the technocratic future has to solve? What would give you that? What would give you that impression? The last 300 years? Is that is that what would give you that impression?
I think we should get internet on Mars before we put people there.
For their own survival.
Because I think if we send people to Mars with no internet, they will die.
I mean,
and they'll kill each other. They'll be like, oh, frick, there's no Tinder on Mars. There's no Mars Tinder. There's no, like, what? I'm so bored and I'm stuck in space and the gravity's off. So that already makes, you know, everything strange. I'm going to walk outside the airlock and die.
And die.
And then you got to develop a whole team. It's like, all right, let's go get all the people who have walked out of the airlock today because there's no Mars Tinder. Like, that has to be a whole governmental program now. Do you see what I'm saying? I think it's good that he bought Twitter.
You're just like, now that he bought Twitter, the people on Mars will have something to do.
If now that he bought Twitter, maybe he will put Tinder on Mars. And I think that's fine.
Elon is going to put a little flag with a little blue bird on it on Mars. What I think Elon should do, first thing I think Elon should do, I think he should make...
This is actually, yes.
A good question. Think he should make Twitter subscriptions across the board.
Okay.
I think he should make everyone...
Like $1 a month? What do you think?
Every account, $2.99 a month, or you don't have that account.
Wow.
But he's never going to do that because that's not free speech.
It's literally not.
It's literally not free
speech. Paid speech.
Yes, it's paid speech. But also, you are paying for your speech already. Like, Twitter is not a free speech platform.
Someone, when your child is about to be born in a couple days,
yes,
and when my child is about to be born in several months, we're going to have to pay someone to get that baby out of there. So really, is anything free?
No.
No.
Except for the grace of God.
The love of the game.
Except for... No, not even the love of the game, because Tony the Tiger's got to come in and pay for your sports equipment.
He does. Here's some free flags for your flag football team.
Here's some free flags for your flag football team.
And also a coupon for $1 off your favorite box of General Mills.
Don't forget to cut off the box tops for education.
I've learned nothing from box tops. This is a crap. I'm not an Elon guy. I'm not an anti-Elon guy. I think Elon is neither good nor bad. I think he exists in the chaotic neutral space, right? Which I think is amazing because there's a lot of people that just don't like him, right? There's some people that are a bit too attached to him for being, you know, they think he's some kind of messiah. There's some people that really hate him because they're like, he's the worst. I think he's just a guy who is in a position to really just buck all trends and conventions. And he finds it to be interesting. And so he's just doing it to see what happens, right? And we're seeing what happens. It's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting. Because nothing like this has, I'm going to say nothing. The coronavirus was a real mask off moment for a lot of people.
So to speak.
Mask off as masks were coming on. But for some people, it's like, really, they're just starting to lose their minds. Can I tell you how I would change Twitter if I was a CEO?
The worst part about Elon taking over Twitter is everyone is asking this question of themselves.
Yes.
What would I do if I was a regular guy who had a dad who owned a diamond mine in South Africa? And oh, Elon shows us a regular guy smoking weed on Joe Rogan can become a...
Yeah, a regular guy. You know who... I think there are exactly zero billionaires that were just regular guys.
Regular guys.
There's none of them. So
it's absolutely zero.
Bill Gates's mom was on the board at IBM. Bill Gates's dad was like a bank.
Yeah, it started in a garage.
His mom was impregnated by a bank.
His dad was a bank. I think
stone structure.
You mentioned like he's in the position to buck all trends. It's interesting to watch him do it. I think that's true. Jeff Bezos is also in the position to amass, restructure society to fit his own personal wealth, and I think that's interesting to watch too.
Yeah,
I think both actions are morally neutral.
I agree.
But both of them are bad.
Sure. Well, so you just contradicted yourself.
Both of them are morally neutral, but I hate both of them. So in the same way that I don't like grape jelly on peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. But Jeff is doing it. He's doing it lame. He's doing it boring. He's like, I'll buy the Washington Post, which apparently is not a restriction of free speech somehow. I saw someone with a very interesting point that was like basically declaring Twitter to be the digital public square, right? Is it makes sense on paper because it feels like everybody's on Twitter because all of the media people are on Twitter. It's not actually true. It's only like, I don't know, 200 million some people are on Twitter. And I think that's...
And that's globally.
That's globally, right? So like most people don't have Twitter. And even it's like out of the people that are on Twitter, the percentage of people that post content is like 10%, you know?
But everyone who's super online feels like Twitter is the world.
Yes. And he's like, oh, wow, this tweet got 100,000 likes. You realize how small 100,000 is in like the compared to 8 billion? It's just not.
There are 20-year-olds banking 5 million views a video on YouTube.
But what his point was, or like someone was saying, like, this is crazy because this is not the public square. How dare Elon Musk try to, confine public discourse to his company? Basically, and this guy just like reposted an image of just like, I think it was just the Washington Post and just the image of it. He's like, this is what you guys are basically describing what newspapers are. It's just like a small percentage of people that write the news that get distributed to everybody.
To quote unquote everybody. Yeah.
And it's the same thing that the ABC, CBS, and NBC, just power concentrated in the hands of the few. It's kind of how it's always been. And so what I would do is I would make it so that you could really customize Twitter. I would like to not see any retweets. I don't want to see what people like. I just want to see the tweets of the people that I follow. And then if I go onto their profile and look, I'd be able to see their retweets. But I would just like a feed where there's no extra added stuff. I would pay for that. I would pay $2.99 a month just to be able to see in chronological order the tweets of the people that I follow.
Incredible.
And I think if he made it customizable to like each person's preferences, I'm sold. Like, we just are used to social media being the way that it is. It's like completely algorithmically controlled. Like, what if you could actually control what you saw and what you didn't see? Of course, nobody makes money that way, but.
No, of course not. And I think $2.99 a month is not even close to what they make per user.
Certainly.
I don't know.
Free speech ain't free, baby.
But then all of the goofy Twitter accounts I made in high school get deleted. So who's to say if it's bad or not?
There's an account that you should follow that I've been perusing. It's called Crazy Ass Moments in U.S. Politics. And it's just anything in the last 200 some years of just like wild stuff that's happened that like senators, Supreme Court judges, federal level judges, like anybody involved in politics. It's amazing. And I've spent far too much time. I see some of these and I'm like, man, Patrick would enjoy this.
Yeah, I should follow it. I don't know. See, this is why we got to change our logo, because we are just real highbrow.
We're
intellectual conversations. We don't the blue and yellow polka dots. We've surpassed it. Nobody's
like looking at a blue and yellow polka dotted themed podcast and thinking like those guys insinuated that Bill Gates' dad was a bank. And his dad was just a building made of mortar and stone.
That's not your man. That's brick and mortar. That's the IBM. If your man is amassing wealth for himself and consolidating power to eradicate small businesses, that's not your man. That's IBM.
hey, Becky. Hey, Barbara. Nice to see you outside of work. This is my husband, Rob. Oh, so I've heard so much about you, Rob. Nice to meet you. This is my husband, First United.
The bank, Rob. Rob, the bank. Get down to the ground.
Pretty good. Good job.
Thanks.
That was funny. We didn't even plan that.
No, we didn't even plan it. It was great. One of my favorite bits that Phoebe and I do all the time is the bank robber who confuses different conjunctions. Hold on.
I'm ready.
Put the money in the bag and everyone gets hurt. Wait. I mean, or everyone gets hurt. Put the money in the bag, but everyone gets hurt. Wait.
Wait.
I'm confused. What's the cause?
Put everyone in the bag and no money gets hurt.
Anyway.
I don't have a Pittsburgh news. I feel like that's okay for this
really?
Week. Yeah.
Dang.
Do you need one?
No.
Ever since that one person dissed on Pittsburgh news in the survey, I'm like, forget about it. We're done. You've ruined it for everybody. No, I just think I'm only going to do it once in a while when there's actually a really good story instead of trying to force it.
And a bunch of people said they like the banter in the beginning.
So I mean, that's what we're here for. That's how
give them 15 minutes of it.
15 minutes of the good juice.
15 whole minutes of that good stuff. Yeah, I even think the same could be said about Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. It's like, if we get a really good one, you know, we throw it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we could even have a segment where we try a new segment. Where we talk about which segment we like the best.
I think that's a good idea. Do we have a good dating corner for this week? Not that I'm ready to do it now, but
we have quite a few.
We've got good stuff. Okay,
we have quite a few. Yeah,
in a couple of weeks we can start maybe spacing them out.
You know,
and just some people in the Patreon Discord tab. What are the channel? I'm so bad at this
channel. Yeah,
we're coming up with some really great ideas for new segments. So
was that recent?
That was recently. Yes. So you should one. You can join us on Patreon. Patrick's going to talk about that later. Or two, go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord. You can join the Discord.
Hey, we've gotten ever since. I used dynamic insertion for us instead of for other people. Huge. And I dropped a bunch of ads. I dropped an ad block at the end of every podcast, and I cycled through four ads. One that reminds people to do Patreon, Discord, and
oh, good.
And comment and giving a review and all that. So you're going to hear that for a while until I decide, you know, this is until I decide that's enough. But a bunch
you're gonna,
of
you're going to listen to these ads until Patrick, the comedy troll, decides that you've had enough.
I think a lot of it is like a lot of our listeners, a lot of our fellow crunchers are behind. All right. Yeah. They're like a year or so back because some people on the survey said they listen to multiple episodes a week, which means people are trying to catch up.
Crazy.
No, that's how I listen to podcasts sometimes.
Oh.
That's how I listen to podcasts sometimes. And so I threw a bunch of ads on our back catalog so they could find out about the Discord and join it.
Like, we are way cooler. Imagine listening to us 4 years ago.
Ah, weird.
And it's just like, man, those guys,
lame,
not married, not dads. Listen to us now, married, dads, lame, have a Discord.
Weirdly went from being millennials to being Gen Z. It's fine.
Went from hating Twitter to being off Twitter to being on Twitter to being like pro Twitter to upset Patrick to being all kinds of we've run the whole gamut is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I wear Henley shirts now with buttons instead of a collar. Took me years to get on this game.
Dude, Henley shirts are the bomb.
I feel powerful.
Yeah, so all of the ads are just reminding people that's that cool. Hey, you know, five bucks a month on Patreon is about $1 an episode. So if you think this episode was worth $1, why not give us $5 a month on Patreon?
Pitch in.
It's a lot of if you do your monthly budget, $5. I support a podcast or two. You can make it work. Paying each other for content.
Ever since the baby announcement last week, your wife and my wife, I feel like I've been texting nonstop. About baby things.
Yes.
Which is very exciting.
It is very exciting.
They have it used to be that their only thing in common was that they're married to a podcaster. And now
they're moms.
Now they're moms together.
Yes. So it's fun. It's fun to see how a wife once averse to talking to other people, generally speaking, is now like, oh, I need to talk to moms. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like how I was like, when I was getting married, I was like, oh, I need to talk to a bunch of dads.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what you do. You're like, I need to find other people who, from what I understand, Emma also doesn't talk to many people.
She talks to her friends, but she, I would say she's sometimes of a similar persuasion where she's like, you know what? I just want to kind of not do anything.
I don't want to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. I would rather lay down.
I would rather not do that. Like, yeah. imagine if I told you, Ethan,
yeah.
Hey, we're going to a random alpha gathering. We're going to go to alpha. There's going to be about 40 people there. Most of them strangers, half of them probably not Christian, and we're going to go evangelize them. What would you say?
Great. Can we go now?
Right? Let's go. Like, let's can we get there early?
Yeah.
Like,
can we pregame? Like, is there a way to invite the non-Christians to take shots with us in the parking lot before we go into the Alpha event?
Now, typically speaking, what would Emma and Phoebe say to such an invitation?
Emma would not say anything. She would just look at me like, just kind of, not disgust, and not confusion, but like on that spectrum of just,
yeah.
Why would you think I would do that? You know, it would be that.
You're like handing her the fireball and Bailey's shot in the parking lot. And she's like,
come on. What are you doing? Get going. You got to catch up.
Let's go. You gotta-
Emma, if you're listening to this, please don't drink. You're pregnant. Just got to remind you of that.
I know it's not Pittsburgh news.
What's this?
But get okay. this. The duck is a detective. Pet duck leads police to body of missing woman. Granddaughter charged with murder.
Whoa.
Okay, not Pittsburgh.
Wow. Really, they really buried the lead on that one, because I was all about the... a duck is a detective. That's how fun. Murdered granddaughter.
Granddaughter charged with murder.
Oh, charged with murder. Okay. Yeah, go for it.
A pet duck led police to crack the case of a... Oh, we're doing a not Pittsburgh news. So you're telling me this segment is just you found an interesting news story that happened to be in Pittsburgh and you yes. wanted to talk about it.
That is correct.
Okay.
And we're going to do it every week. There's always news in Pittsburgh. We're talking about Pittsburgh. And we're going to be talking about Pittsburgh for the rep. If you think maybe you want to do like a, oh, let's give Ethan a break. We're going to do the Oklahoma City news. No, we're not doing Oklahoma City news. We're talking about Pittsburgh news.
Can you make a bumper for not Pittsburgh news? To say not and then play the Pittsburgh News bumper.
Thanks.
Police say a male victim was not shot in both legs in an 11th floor apartment on Stanwyck Street. People that live inside there were
not
stunned to hear the news.
I can't recall like one single incident besides like an alarm going off or like, you know, like a dog.
Not
getting a potato chip bag stuck on its head.
She reportedly suffered a broken arm and lacerations from the deployed airbag. Her parrot was
not
fine. Angel told officials
was
not
arbitrary.
This is from the Discord, bit.ly/crunchdiscord. A pet duck led police to crack the case of a missing North Carolina grandmother who vanished over 2 years ago and led to murder charges against the victim's granddaughter and grandson-in-law, officials said. Angela Wamsley, 46, and Mark Allen Barnes, 50, were charged with first-degree murder Thursday in the death of Wamsley's grandmother, Nellie Sullivan, the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office announced.
Emma, get my bun comb. These hairs aren't going to comb themselves.
Officials say Sullivan would be 93 today if she were still alive. She went missing sometime in 2020, according to the sheriff's office. Wow. We did not have a definitive date when she was killed, Aaron Sarver said. However, police believe she's been dead for multiple years.
Oh.
Wamsley and Barnes have been under investigation in connection to Sullivan's death since December 2020. At first, they were arrested on charges spanning animal cruelty and drug possession, but by December 2021, Barnes was charged with concealing the death, and Wamsley received the same charge on January 7th, the sheriff's office said.
Okay.
For years, investigators searched for Sullivan without a trace. A breakthrough in the case came on April 14th when a pet duck dashed under a trailer in Chandler, North Carolina, which led its owners to discover a container holding Sullivan's body.
Wow.
Apparently, the duck ran underneath the trailer at 11 Beady-Eyed Lane.
What is this place?
I don't know. And they were chasing after their pet duck. They ran across the container that Nellie Sullivan was located in. If I could give that duck a medal, I would. I mean, you could.
So they're in this crawl space.
Yeah.
And the duck's just under there. Right.
I think they ran under the trailer.
They ran under the trailer and they found a container and they thought, this could have a body in it. Let's open this guy up.
Oh, there's a body. I don't know. It
maybe
seems
they smelled
like,
it?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe the duck was like quacking at the body. Like
right.
kind of
like
how like dogs
bloodhound.
Bark.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a bloodhound. But right. it's a blood duck.
Who trained this duck? And also why?
Ducktective.
Yes.
I love ducks. I want to... Oh my gosh. It's not a duck story, but I have a goose story. Phoebe okay. and I were on a walk the other day, okay. and there was a goose just standing there. And we were like, a bike drove by and the goose was unbothered. And I was like, this goose is probably fine. And we were walking up and I was like, this goose is not fine, because he started walking towards us and his head was like low and he was like, hey. And I was like, oh, this, yeah, I was like, this goose is not pleased. And I was like, listen, man, this is a human trail. You got to get on the goose trail.
The goose trail.
And he almost got my goose. He always came up to us and I was like, oh no. And we walked the other way.
Can I tell you an interesting thing about geese? I have seen a goose. I don't know if you've been to a shopping mall recently. Shopping malls were very big in the American culture in the 80s and 90s. You've heard of this.
I've heard of shopping malls.
It's a collection of stores. Okay. So
yeah.
Sometimes I go to the shopping mall just because you have to, because there's no other, you know.
You got to get a tie, and there's only ties at Dillard's, JCPenney, Macy's.
Dillard's, and sometimes there's no other time that works for you to see the Batman rated R except for at the movie theater inside the mall. And so you got to go. Yeah. You got to go check it out. So I go to the mall once, and then I went to the mall for some other thing. Both times, different malls, there was a goose standing sentinel, or rather sitting, right in front of the door to the JCPenney. Two different malls.
Two different geese.
JCPenney, two different geese, different cities. Geese, just sitting, staring.
Huh.
Outwards. They're not looking in. They're not like yearning for some type of capitalistic life, right? They're not looking in at the perfume section.
Sure.
They're staring out at the parking lot, sitting.
Just waiting.
No discernible eggs or nests or anything like that. Just, has theft gotten that bad?
they need a guard goose?
They need a guard goose.
Listen, if ducks can find bodies, geese can guard. If ducks can yeah.
buy, that's true.
There's a labor shortage in this country.
It's true. Labor's hot right
yeah.
now. I mean, the geese fly by and they see that sign that says up to $15 an hour.
Whoa.
I'd love to still get paid $7.25. Sign me up. Poor geese, you know. Was that the rest? That was the whole duck
story. I mean,
story.
There was more like that, but it's like, okay, the duck found a body.
The duck found a body. See, when I thought it was like a duck detective, I was thinking...
A duck detective.
In my mind, I was imagining some kind of like, they're at the police station. Wham. Door gets kicked down. Duck steps in with a long shadow cast across the floor and goes... Wah. Well, good for the duck. A victory for justice.
That's kind of funny that you're right. They buried the lead on that one. The reporter was like, "Ah, that's so cute. The duck.
Oh, look at the duck found
the duck uncovered years of elder abuse and then
yeah,
murder.
Years of elder abuse, murder and
conspiracy and deal
conspiracy.
Drug dealing.
I guarantee you these people are sitting in their trailer going, ah, heh, 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 heh. Which is all that it takes to get convicted for the crime of conspiracy.
You all know that. Officer, I saw this man. He was he's about 6 foot tall. He had slick back black hair and he had a mustache that he kept twirling. Oh, that sounds like conspiracy, all right. That's first degree conspiracy. Mustache twirling is a crime in all 50 states and Guam. Shout out to our listener in Guam. All right. Shout out Guam. Okay. Yeah, we can do a topic. You have a topic?
I have like a baby topic.
I thought the baby topic was last week.
Sorry, it's not about babies. It's a small...
I will talk about babies.
I would too. I mean, I love... We got another ultrasound today. Kid grew like, I don't know, twice.
They grow pretty quick at the beginning.
He's growing fast. He went from like a, I don't know, peanut, you know, even smaller.
Yeah.
Some kind of seed. Maybe yeah. a seed to the size of a medium olive.
This is my favorite part about pregnancy apps is they instead of just referring to fruit, they'll also refer to the size of the fruit. It's like, no, I need the size of the baby. I don't need you to tell me I need to find.
How come you can't just say 1.5-inch olive? Like, why do you have to say medium-sized green olive?
Green olive,
you know?
Yeah. Like,
just
like,
tell me how big the olive is.
It's a medium-sized
cabbage.
In fact,
you could just tell me the baby is about 1.5 inches by 0.75 inches. That would be fine. Like, dimensions are good.
And then you can measure an olive and be like, hey, babe, our baby's the size of this olive. Why don't you eat this olive so he has a friend? We've gotten so good at podcasting. Why aren't we millionaires?
I don't know.
We're so good at podcasting, man.
So stupid. Draw a little face on the olive before you eat it. Attach a little, tie a little note around like a message in a bottle and eat it.
Your wife starts chewing. You're like, no, don't eat it. Oh, he's got a squished friend. It's okay. Friends come in all shapes.
I'm gonna print out a very, very tiny, tiny version of the Bible, and I'm gonna stick it in this olive. Swallow it.
Hey, baby, want some stuffed olives? Yeah, sure. What's in this olive? John 3:16.
John's gospel and the Constitution wrapped into those. So I need both of those swallowed ASAP. And then every night you stand in front of your wife's belly with a bullhorn saying,
"We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, are you getting this? Are you getting this? Son or daughter?"
Or daughter. There was a meme template a while back where it was like just the headphones connected to the wife's belly, and then the phone was in view of the camera, so you could see what was playing on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I made one where they were making the baby listen to the Crunch Catholic podcast.
I remember this. I think you did do that.
And I was trying to find it again so I could do it again, but I was like, my wife is pregnant, so I could just recreate the meme.
You could just do it. Yes.
I could just do
it. Did you do it?
No.
Oh, you should.
I should. It'd be funny. I can just hold a green. I can just put the phone up. I can have like a green background on the phone, so you can just put the, you know.
I mean, you could just actually pull it up.
I want to make a meme template.
Oh, I see.
For other people to use. But yes, you're right. I could also just pull up the podcast. No, we'll fix it in post.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post. Topic.
Topic is a baby topic.
Yeah, it's a small topic. It's not the size of it. Anyway.
About the size of 1.5-inch olive.
I've been thinking, so everybody who listens to this podcast knows that I've got a lot of problems. There is quite a bit wrong with me. No, Ethan, you're great. You're such a good friend.
everyone just slammed the brakes in their car and was like wept. Like, no, Ethan is perfect.
No. So I've got a lot of stuff that I'm dealing with, specifically just in the realm of, you know, media addiction, laziness, and just like what some people would call drive or desire for success. I really struggle in those areas.
With too much drive for
success? No, not enough.
Okay.
No, certainly not. Because I just, it's very easy for me to just like quit on things. You know, as soon as something gets hard, it's kind of like, it's easy. It's shorthand way of saying it is like gifted kid syndrome. You know, like a lot of stuff came easy to me when I was young.
Yeah.
And now that things are harder, I've like trained my brain to quit or find ways to like cope with challenges that usually are social media is like how I would cope with those things.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to blame it all on that, because there's certainly other factors, but I'm trying to unravel all that right now. And so I was doing this thinking, and I don't know. I just want to hear your thoughts, Patrick, as a friend.
Okay.
Because I'm struggling with this a lot. So I guess I'll give the full context. I really enjoy the NBA. You know about this, the basketball, the professional basketball.
Yeah, the Golden Gate Warriors.
The Golden Gate Warriors and the Dallas Pelicans. So I've been watching some games, listening to some podcasts, just like getting into this. And there's a particular podcast that I like called The Old Man and the Three. You heard about this?
No.
J.J. Redick, he was a player. And now he's retired and he does basketball. And this is all a long build up, but I want people to be able to trace the path that I'm going down. And I was listening to his podcast and he did an interview with Kevin Durant, and they were talking about their like pregame warmups and stuff, and like talking about how addicted to basketball they are, which I find to be very interesting. Like professional athletes at that level, just like obsessed with the game and obsessed with trying to perfect it. And when they're in the off season, they're still working out 6 days a week and they're still like watching film and they're working on their games and they're doing all these things. It's like when other guys in the league are taking, you know, they're going to Mexico for however many weeks. And so they were just talking about the differences in those things. I found it super interesting. I started to read more and more about what JJ specifically would do, because JJ is interesting because he's 6'4". He's not short by any means, but his arms are shorter than his height. And so he was an anomaly in the NBA because he could shoot really well. He was like 40 some percent from three, which is really, really good. Mm-hmm. But his arms, he's a defensive liability because he's shorter than everybody else and his arms are so small.
Sure.
And so he had to like bust his butt to be really good, to like stay in the league, or else he'd be kicked out. And not kicked out, but like no one would play, like pay him to play.
Blame, yeah.
So
he was talking about his really intense routine that he does for like practices and game day, and all it's scheduled down to the minute of I eat lunch at this time, and if I don't get lunch at this time, then like my game gets thrown off. And like you can see it statistically, like he remembers the games where he didn't get lunch at the specific time. You can see his numbers like worse, you know.
Wow.
I sit in the tub for this amount of time, and I go and I work out for 30 minutes, and then I take a nap from 2 to 4, and I wake up at 4, and I fall asleep in 5 minutes because I've trained myself to nap, like to fall asleep right away when I nap. And I'm in the locker room at this time putting on my tights, and I'm on the floor, and I do this many shots from these spots. And he just has this like, there's a really great New York Times article about it, actually, that if Regan, you wanted to throw that in the description, it's super interesting. And he does like every Sunday, he makes 342 shots exactly or something like that. And so he just kind of has this really intense routine. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about where I'm at in my job and like where I'm just struggling. And I'm like, okay, I've been out of a routine and we're traveling a lot. And, you know, there were some changes at my work that kind of changed the nature of what I was doing. And so I'm kind of settling into a spot where it's like, okay, for the next 6 weeks, I'm not going anywhere. Like I'm going to be here, you know, I'm not traveling. You know, I just get to hang out and just work, you know, solid work weeks. And so I was like, okay, I got to build a routine. I was listening to all this and I'm struggling because, like, on a human level, right, we know that routine is really, really good. And for guys like... Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this. AJ, his almost addiction and his adherence to his kind of obsessive routine is what helped him stay great for 14, 15 years in one of the hardest work environments that there is, right? Like you have to be at the top of physical performance for almost 2 decades to be able to have the career that he had. That's like kind of crazy, mm-hmm. right? And so like, I obviously want to be really successful for my family and my work. I want to be really holy. I want to be a saint. And I feel like there's a human reality where like that you have to have some kind of routine to fall back on, like habits and virtues, essentially, when you don't have the motivation or the willpower. And I was thinking about this and thinking about, you know, monasteries and how monks live. It's like, okay, they do the same thing every day. They get up at the same time. They go to bed at the same time. Mass is at the same time. Work is at the same time. And so they're able to focus on everything else because they don't have to think about that stuff. And then I'm thinking about Jesus in the Gospels. And I'm like, that man had no routine. He'd be like, oh, we're going to Galilee. Come on. We're going to Samaria. Let's go. You know, oh, okay. And we're going to be here. We're gonna actually going to stay here for 3 more days than I told you. Like, all right, I'll see you guys up. You guys go at the festival. I'm not going. And he actually goes. You know, it's like, it's hard for me to reconcile the humanness of how good a routine is for people and how good I think it is for me.
Yeah.
But then also I struggle because I want to be flexible in the same way that Jesus was and in the way that he lived. And I think I get stuck a lot, like just not wanting to commit super hard to a routine because I don't live in a monastery. And I hesitate to commit to living like totally spirit led because like I've seen my life when I, maybe not spirit led, but what my version of spirit led is, which is kind of free and flowing and, you know, I'm not committing to a super hard routine. So it's like, well, Jesus didn't wake up at the same time every day and like pray a holy hour at 5:30 so that he could get to work by a certain time. Like Jesus prayed whenever he wanted and he like let the Father lead him and all these things, you know?
But what if the Spirit leads you into a routine, Ethan?
Well, that's a good question. But it's just when I'm over on this side, then I find myself just slacking off and not doing things. And so I don't want to like lose the vision of the life in the strict routine, but I also don't want to, I just wish I could talk to Jesus. Well, I can, but like, I wish he would tell me, like, no, I actually did have a routine, or actually, no, I didn't. And you're barking up the wrong tree. But like, I don't think the monks are wrong, you know, and I don't think JJ Redick is wrong. So I'm just trying to, I've been thinking about all this stuff like kind of all day today. So thank you for listening.
Interesting. Yeah, of course. Thank you for listening. We'll pray. Okay.
What do you think? What are your thoughts on all that?
Something I've been thinking about is what is my minimum, right? Like, when it comes to my routine, What is it that is like a stretch goal? What is it that's a goal? And what is it that's a safety? You know what I mean? Like you're flying for colleges. Sure, what sure. is it? It's and I kind of I've come to a conclusion that one of the minimums is night prayer with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like that always happens. It's like we're tired. We're praying before we go to bed regardless, right? And so that's like a floor for me.
That's cool. That's really awesome.
And on like on a day where it's like I'm wall to wall and it's quite like we have sometimes there's Wednesdays where I have a meeting at 8:30 and edge at night and I'm like going from thing to thing to thing from literally 8:30 until 10 p.m. and it's like the only thing I can do in the morning because I was so tired was wake up and pray the invitatory from the Office of Readings and then read the Psalms and then go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so like what and kind of being okay with the minimum, you know, because like it's tempting to be like, well, I don't have time to pray my entire holy hour this morning, so I might as well not pray at all, which is dumb. That's something that I do sometimes. And I'm just like,
oh, yeah, I do that. I did that like yesterday.
Yeah. And it's like, what is my minimum? I think part of a goal, right, is to just, I think a mentality thing that I'm trying to adopt is not to be scandalized by my own inability to follow the rule of life I've set up for myself. Because you say the monks have these routines, right? But they do. But you remember Father Elijah, right? Where Brother S every day was like, I failed at the rule, but I'm going to do perfectly tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept... Oh no, I was talking during a period of silence, or I forgot my prayers, or I did this thing.
And if you visit any Benedictine monastery and you have a chance to chat with some of those priests or monks, they will tell you the exact same thing.
Yes.
Like every day they struggle, or one of the people that they're with struggles, or that they notice this person always doing this, or they always fall short at this. Like it's not perfection. You're certainly correct.
Yeah. And so I think part of a really big struggle, right, is to not become scandalized by failure to adhere to the rule.
But Patrick, I'm perfect.
And that's...
Don't you know that?
It's a Pharisaical attitude because the problem with the Pharisees...
Oh, here we go.
...was that they did an understandable thing from an outside perspective.
Killing God?
No. Before that.
No. Oh,
No.
Yeah.
They were like, we don't have a temple, so we're going to establish the home as the temple, and we're going to establish all these purity laws, like the priest, like the dad is the priest, and we're going to do purification and all this stuff. And that was a way to live the life of a temple sacrifice without a temple. Without a temple.
Yes.
And so like... We set up these rules that are good and holy and pious things, but they are not the end goal. And
certainly
then when a problem for us, right, is like when someone breaks the law that we have set up for ourselves, we are scandalized by it. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing about laws. Every law is an instantiation of the natural law. But by that, because it's not the natural law. So Aquinas talks about how every law is abridgeable. Every law is annullable. Every law.
Every law.
Every human law. Because it is.
Every human law?
Every human law. Because it's.
Not the Ten Commandments, certainly.
Not a human law.
Not a human law.
But that's the point, right? It's like the Ten Commandments are not that specific. They're very general. They're very general.
Very general. Yeah.
Especially because it's like, okay, so do not kill, like, under what circumstances? Right? There's some that are less cut, they're pretty cut and dry, like do not commit adultery, pretty obvious, right?
But honor your father and mother, right? Like,
how do you do that? Yeah. And so Bernard of Clairvaux talks about how, like, you know, following the Spirit in your routine, like we talk about this, right? He says, don't deny someone who needs you because you have to finish your holy hour. But I have to do a holy hour every day. Okay. But God obviously sent someone to you in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So like, don't, you know?
Gosh, this is so hard.
Right. And it is hard because it's like, but that's the thing, is the holy hour is for you, not you for the holy hour.
Yes.
It's why Christ was not sinning, even though it was scandalous. Like, Phoebe was scandalized when we watched The Chosen. And even though I was kind of scandalized, it was like, anyway, he's like, yeah, it's okay. You can eat grain on the Sabbath. You can pluck grain on the Sabbath. Now, that is kind of scandalous. If that's part of their law, then, like, why is he allowing it?
Yeah. And he just totally, like, looks like a crazy guy.
Because I'm like, yeah, they are kind of harvesting, and you're not supposed to harvest on the Sabbath.
And then none of them question it, and they all just, like, follow him. You're like, wait a minute, did Jesus start a cult? You know? Like, yeah. It looks that way. From the Pharisees' point of view, they're like, this cult leader just convinced all these people to commit a sin.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, no. Like, that's kind of, I kind of get it. You kind of got to give it up to him. Like, I understand. You do not, under any circumstances, have to give it up to them.
Have to give it up to them.
But it's somewhat scandalous, yeah. Right? Because, but, you know, when you take a step back and you think, okay, well, these laws were put into play. There's, Jesus makes a good point. Duh.
God was right here.
Is it lawful to do harm or to do good on the Sabbath?
You should do good.
Exactly. And so he's saying, I'm feeding these people. And is it really harvesting? Like, let's be honest here. Or are we just being super strict? It's the same thing that Adam did in the garden. He told Eve, you can't even touch this tree. But that's not true.
It's not true what they said.
That's not what he said. You can touch the tree. You have to touch the tree because you have to cultivate it. So, like, it's creating a hedge around the sin so that you don't. But that's the thing, right? Sometimes you have to cross the hedge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scandalous, but you have to get over it because, like, it's.
Because there's people over there.
There's people over there that need to be stopped from touching the tree. You know, like from touching the fruit.
Please do not bake the fruit from the forbidden tree into a delicious pie.
Please do not. What if that was the law in the garden?
That was the whole, they didn't put this in Genesis, but maybe the lizard comes up and he's like, what if you put it in a pie and you ate it?
What if you put it in a pie?
And we ate it together. But look here, it's not invented yet, but I have whipped cream.
Whipped cream. You just hold the devil, like, holds ready whip. Aerosol whipped cream.
Wait till you hear about it.
God is going to get very mad because these put hole in ozone.
I don't know what accent we're doing. I'm sure someone's going to be.
It's
upset,
Russian. Right? They're fine. They'll take it.
Oh, yeah. Like, you stupid American.
Okay, yeah, man. So now the best part about World Wars is why everyone is all of a sudden okay with racism.
That's a true thing.
That was a joke for legal reasons. That's a joke.
I love what you said. And I think two things have to be true for lay people who are pursuing holiness and excellence in their life. At no point are we invited to live a life of mediocrity. Like, if we're really living up to what God wants us to do, we're going to be doing our jobs excellently. We're going to be excellent parents. We're going to be excellent husbands, excellent wives. Like, we are going to be living everything that we're in to the fullest, right? And this is what you see from all of the saints. It's like, doesn't matter what they were. If you're a king, if you're a peasant, right? All of the saints lived it excellently. It didn't matter. And so we have that invitation. Right now, it's very, very challenging to be excellent. It's very challenging to live excellently because everything is so easy, you know? Like, you got, we need some food, Walmart. Oh, we need some pants, Walmart.
I want to give food to the home, Walmart.
Walmart. Or, you know, even more complex things. Like, even to take your example, like feeding the homeless. It's like, well, my taxes go to welfare and, you know, that helps the homeless. Like, it's very easy to rationalize away the challenging parts of living a human life. And you can get a job that's a job in corporate America. Not everybody can, so I shouldn't say that. But with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of work, you can get into a job where you can collect a salary for doing something that is not very critical to anybody's life or well-being. You know, you can make $50,000 a year doing not much.
Yeah.
At a lot of places.
You can make $50,000 a year going downtown and playing office all day and then going home.
Correct.
And I'm not saying this to diminish anybody that has worked very hard in these jobs. I'm not trying to diminish anybody who has a job like that.
I'm not trying to diminish the rise and grind.
Correct. Well, I'm just saying if you compare the work that we do today and the amount of money we make doing it, it's just easy. Just easy compared to what, you know, you see those pictures of the Pittsburgh coal miners that are all shoved into the elevators that are, you know, that die from lung cancer. And you're like, Okay, I'm doing fine. So all this to say, you have to do it excellently.
I don't know if there are coal mines in Pittsburgh.
The coal mines, you know.
The coal mines in Pittsburgh.
The near Pennsylvania, right? Clean coal.
Yeah, nice. Clean coal.
And we have ended the war on beautiful, clean coal.
You live in the Rust Belt, so it's just coal miners and J.D. Vance fans.
Yeah, the Rust Belt. Rust, famous for coming from coal.
I don't know what else they mine. I don't know.
Pittsburgh is famous for steel.
Steel. That is, yes. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Iron City, IC Light. That's the Pittsburgh beer.
It probably would not be socially appropriate to begin a football team that was the Coal Burners, don't you think? That probably would not go well.
No.
They would be the cleanest. They'd be the cleanest team.
You shouldn't assume that that sports teams' names have anything to do with the region, because the Pittsburgh Penguins, there's no Penguins here. Except for the zoo.
There's no Penguins. Yeah. There's no Kings in Sacramento. Stupid. Okay. So we need two things need to be true at the same time. One, we need to be excellent. Two, we need to recognize that we are not always excellent. And that just sucks. Like, I struggle so hard. Like, if I don't wake up at the time that I've set for myself and pray my holy hour at the time that I've set for myself, it is so, so hard for me to go about the rest of my day. It's so challenging to then go to work and act like everything's normal and act like if I, or even if I make time for the holy hour and I fall asleep or like I'm not very attentive or it's not very good holy hour, same deal. It's like I have such a crazy high expectation. And so I think we need to be more ambitious about the routines that we set for ourselves. And I think we need to really, like, we probably have a lot to learn from these like NBA players and from the monks in kind of a weird way. Because of the strict routines that they set for themselves. And when you stick to it, right? If you ask any monk, it's like, what's the best time of your life that you've had? It's like, when I stuck to my routine and I like allowed the spirit to move in my soul while I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. Like, that was the time that I felt closest to God, right? You know, same thing, right? When were you the most successful in the NBA? When I stuck to my routine every single day and I pushed my boundaries, you know, and I had accountability and I didn't compromise, right? Like, I wasn't complacent. And so I think there's a human and spiritual reality there that, like, okay, we need to be more ambitious with those things. But on the flip side, the monk who obsessively sticks to his routine and doesn't deviate ever and like doesn't allow himself any like level of human weakness for the sake of keeping up the routine is also not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's what spiritual directors are for, is to like help, you know, these guys navigate it. And in theory, that's what, you know, good friends and good community and your priest and all these things are for out here on the flip side. But I think that's where I really, 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 like, I set goals that are ambitious in the wrong ways. And two, when I inevitably fail, then I just completely collapse. And then there's no way for me to come back. Do you think we're the only people that experience this? Do you think anybody else kind of goes through this?
I think nobody else does.
Sorry, everyone.
Sorry.
Podcast is personal therapy again.
No, I'm kidding. I think everybody struggles with this. I don't know if that was clear. Okay. The routine is for our weakness.
Yes.
Right? That's why all of the middle class got to work from home. And they all found out how easy it was to not do anything if no one is paying attention. And how easy it is to not do work if you don't have to wake up and get into the office by 9.
Yeah.
And I think we underestimate how much routine we actually already have. Because if you think about what is your minimum, what is your minimum? Your minimum is that your butt's in that office seat.
By a certain time.
By a certain time.
Yeah.
And that's a routine. Mm-hmm. It is. But I think if you're consistently failing in a routine,
just quit. Just browse Twitter and never try. That's what I do.
I think that's time to examine, is it helping you? If you're consistently failing in a routine, to say, you know what, I'm going to keep holding myself to this standard I'll never meet. That's kind of like mean to yourself.
Sounds like hell.
Sounds awful. I mean, I think we have this image of this perfect monastic life where it's easy to become holy because everyone else is doing it.
If you read the Rule of Saint Benedict, he makes it very clear that if someone is incapable of achieving some part of the rule, then you need to they need to not be held to that standard. Like, you don't have to, for work and for your spiritual life. That's true. Like, there are some people who just have like a crazy, like probably an unhealthy addiction to their job or an unhealthy obsession with success. And they're on the surface, it's going to be like, man, I'm not doing what that guy's doing. Or I'm not doing what everybody else in my office is doing. I'm not doing what everybody else. Like, am I, you know, it's like, you need to evaluate yourself based on, where am I at with the Lord? Where am I at my vocation? You know, are those two things are the critical things. But we so often just look outwards all the time. It's so easy to look at people like, oh man, Patrick writes all these articles. And I always talk about how I want to write articles, but I never freaking write anything.
Ethan, you hate writing articles.
I know, but I want to
do it. Don't write
articles.
You hated it. We wrote an article for Life, and you were banging your head against the desk for 2 weeks. And I was like,
it was longer than that. I put it off for like 2 months.
Oh my gosh, you hated it. Don't do it.
It got like lots of likes on the Life Team website, though. So yeah. Maybe I should be a writer.
It was a good article.
Thank you. That's very nice. But you see what I'm saying.
No, I definitely hold myself to a higher standard, because it's like you have these guys that wake up at 4:30 every morning, and every military guy turned influencer is like, you got to wake up at 4:30 in the morning because everybody else is still sleeping. You're out there grinding. I'm like, okay, so if everyone wakes up at 4:30, do you then have to wake up at 2:30? That's what, right, I want to know.
Is my grind level dependent upon when other people are not, in fact, grinding?
This is a false.
Yeah, it's a zero sum game.
It is a zero sum game. Yeah, the whole is it, I forget, is it David Goggins or is it Jocko Willink? It's Jocko, yeah. Who's like, you gotta wake up because the enemy's training. And I'm like, hey Jocko, guess what, the enemy, I don't have any enemies. They're not people. Any enemies that I have are certainly not training.
Any man of mine, he better walk the line.
Regan, you're gonna have to put that reference in, because I don't.
Shania Twain.
Ah, yes. The wife of Mark.
Wow.
What?
Oh, wait. No, that was just really... You've had a couple of good ones today. I'm very thankful.
This is a pretty good podcast. We need a podcast at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All the time.
With a Budweiser, official drink of the Crunch Catholic Podcast.
The king of beers for the king of podcasts.
Hey. Patrick, go ahead to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. And if I change my mind a million times, I wanna hear him say, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's called communication, baby.
All right. Welcome to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, sponsored by
Shania Twain.
Update on Morocco?
The guy that wanted to go to Morocco?
Wait a second. Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
Talk to me. Remember the guy that wanted to go to Morocco for the girl that he met online, and we were like, don't go, you might get stoned to death. Do you remember this?
Peter and I lost contact for a bit because I ended up getting COVID. When I got better, things started getting busier. I never had time to meet with him until recently. We caught up on the phone, and he told me that the girl from Morocco wasn't putting in the same effort into the relationship, so he got fed up and dumped her harder than the Patriots dumped team nice. To the harbor. That was funny. So he is forced to no longer contact with her.
Thank goodness.
Dude. The guy who's... So this was a guy submitting a question about his friend. But it was the same guy from last time who worked at Kohl's and talked to the girl.
No way. The Doctor Who Things Dating Corner Cinematic Universe is expanding.
What?
Ba-boom, ba-boom, boom, boom, boom. You gotta add it in the Avengers music, Regan.
That'd be pretty funny.
Or sync my voice up with the music.
I want to hear Ethan screaming the Avengers theme while it plays in the background. It is the same guy! Same guy.
That's crazy.
Update on Morocco. That's crazy. Yeah, I already read that. So I'm gonna delete that from the Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner podcasting cinematic universe. And then, okay, so we've got a Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, and it's the last one for a while. Unless you guys submit, go to the Discord to get the link.
If you do not submit, then we must quit.
We must quit. This could be the end of Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner.
Oh man.
I know. This is crazy.
Sad Avengers music.
Dr. Ethan, I don't feel so good. No, Nurse Patrick, no. Being single in a foreign country, dropping the handkerchief, etc. Hi, so here's some context for these big questions I'm about to throw at you. A study abroad gift for my friend. I offered to submit some of her dating questions to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, so here we are.
What a gift.
She and I are 21 years old and attend a university with a vibrant Catholic community. Oh, is it Franciscan? Oh, no. Okay, no, it's in Prague.
Go Bears.
Currently, my friend is studying abroad in Europe for the spring semester. What's her name? Anyway, here are her questions. Feel free to answer as few or as many as you wish. How does one start dating? Can you send Catholic men to Prague, please? I think the underlying sentiment is, how do I find young men in Prague? How does one drop a handkerchief, indicate interest in a guy while giving him the opportunity to respond? What is the best gift I can give my future husband as a single woman?
Whoa.
A Roth IRA. Is being single at
secured treasury bonds.
Honey, guess what? Opens laptop, shows him my Vanguard profile.
Yes.
Wow, amazing. And is being a stay-at-home single woman a legit vocation? Thanks so much. We love the freaking pod.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the freaking pod. Join us on Discord, please. Thank you.
bit.ly/crunchdiscord. Pet, can you repeat the first question?
How does one start dating?
How do you do anything? Like, I don't understand. This question bewilders
me. How does any agreement begin?
Right?
With a signed document notarized by a public notary.
A notary public, excuse me. With your fingerprints in your own blood on the addendum page.
And so, little footprints, too. It's so official, you gotta dip your foot in ink and dip it on the page.
Yes. And then also your social security number has to be on it. And also your
text,
dad's maiden
or
name.
Alternatively your dad's identification number or your EIN.
How do you start dating? You develop a friendship with a person of the opposite gender and you enjoy spending time with them, and then you exclusively decide to date each other.
Yes.
Dating doesn't necessarily mean that you're intentionally pursuing a marriage per se. Like, you can be casually dating someone and getting to know them. At a certain point, dating needs to converge to either we're intentionally pursuing marriage together or we're just going to stay friends. And so
I thought this is how you started dating.
How do you start dating, Patrick?
You meet a girl.
Oh.
Kind of like her.
All right, slow down.
Develop a friendship because you're a naturally charismatic person. You develop feelings and you do not tell her at all for years. And you watch her. You watch her date guys, break up with guys, date guys, break up with guys, maybe kind of show your feelings a couple of times, never actually ask her out, and then hope that one day she says that she wants to be your girlfriend.
Keep putting yourself in positions with a girl who's your friend, who does not know that you're interested. Putting yourselves in one-on-one positions, like late at night, just hoping that eventually it's going to work out, that you're going to be able to...
He's making kissy faces.
I'm making kissy faces into my microphone. It's not the first time that I've done this. my other last podcast time
was,
that
last
I do.
Time, last time was with Josh Taylor from...
No, we gotta delete that episode from the internet.
Regan, delete that episode for us.
No. I'm the one paying you. Please stop. Neither of us are paying
him. In shout-outs.
Paying him in shout-outs. So...
Yeah, talk about it. That's how you start dating.
I know. Just you could text her. What I've done before, I said, hey, we should hang out sometime. And then they say, sounds great. And then your like internal Catholic guilt kicks in. You're like, man, I'm just trying to hang out with this girl because I want to make out with her. And then you don't end up hanging out with her. And then it's just like, then you do get up the courage to ask her out eventually. And she doesn't want to because you've already agreed to hang out. But then you backed out because you were scared. So you could do that. I did that for 4 years in college. Pretty fun.
I love if you guys, this is Professor Patrick's book corner. If you are a person who is unlucky in love, this is one of the best books I've ever read. It's a memoir by this guy Josh Sundquist. He's a Paralympian skier. He only has one leg, and he's hilarious. He wrote this book called We Should Hang Out Sometime. This is
how did what. How does he ski? Wouldn't that just be snowboarding?
He's a Paralympic skier.
Sure. So does he get another leg? Like, do they donate legs?
I don't know, man.
How does he ski? Patrick, you cannot bring up a one-legged skier on this podcast and expect me to just, oh, see you later. Let's just keep moving. We're not on the bunny slope, pal. Like, we are in a podcast.
It's like snowboarding, except it's always straight down. He never goes sideways. I don't know.
He's just perfectly centered. His body mass doesn't tilt. His leg is in the middle of his torso, and he's just riding once, whoosh, whoosh, like some kind of character out of Monsters, Inc. I don't believe it.
So he's not only is he a Paralympic skier, he is also a bodybuilder. And he's pretty jacked.
They have to give him another leg. They have to.
He's a comedian, a Paralympian, and a bodybuilder, and a Halloween enthusiast.
I don't care what he does in his free time.
Okay.
Tell me how he skis.
Just don't fall. How does he ski? Oh, he does. He does some fun Halloween costumes. Like he was an IHOP sign, which I think is hilarious. He was in a flamingo.
Okay, I do. I'm familiar with this person.
Yeah, yes. You've probably seen his. He's also allergic to water.
Okay. Skiing is an interesting profession to pick.
Let me see. I can't find any ski pictures.
Like, oh, I'm allergic to peanuts. Where do you work?
A peanut factory.
Peanut factory.
But this is not why I brought him up. I brought him up because this... Oh, he does look like Tom Hiddleston. He was a Blizzard one year. I'm looking for pictures. How does he ski?
I don't care about his book until you tell me.
How does he ski? I don't know. I don't.
What do you? I bet I could find it in 3 seconds, and you're just being difficult. One-legged skier guy. Images. Okay, so he just has the one leg.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just one leg, and he's skiing on one leg.
Anyway. Continue. I just needed to know. Wow, a lot of people skiing with one leg.
Okay, so he wrote a book called We Should Hang Out Sometime, and it opens like this, and I love it. When I was 25 years old, it came to my attention I had never had a girlfriend. At the time, I was under the impression I was in a relationship, so as you can imagine, this bit of news came as quite of a shock. I answered a call outside on the sidewalk. You always remember exactly where you were when you found out your girlfriend has a boyfriend who isn't you. It was my friend Dan. Listen, said Dan, no one else wanted to tell you this. All right? I'm really sorry. Okay. Charlotte has a boyfriend. He blurted it out as a continuous word. Right. I know. I'm her boyfriend. There was a pause. It's not you. Oh. He goes on like a quick little jaunt through his past with all the girls he's ever liked. And he like has conversations with them. And like, what's wrong with me is like the basic.
Right.
And yeah, he is married now. I think he's married to the girl from the end of the book.
That's good.
Yeah. So it's cool. It's really cool.
Can we just lightning round the rest of her questions here?
Oh yeah, sure. Can you send Catholic men to Prague, please?
No, how do you meet? I don't know how to meet men in a foreign country. I think the same way you meet them anywhere, which is probably start an Instagram account and wait for him to show up. I really don't know. I have no clue.
Yeah, I mean, start at your college if you go to if you're studying abroad at like a college campus.
Yeah, or your local parish would be a good thing too. If you can't, if that doesn't work, the guys hang out at soccer matches and the nightclub in Europe. Those are the two places you're guaranteed to find a guy.
And in Prague, if you can't find them,
join them.
How does one drop a handkerchief indicate interest in a guy while giving him the opportunity to respond?
I think you're cute. Would you like to take me out on a date?
Boom. I hear Europeans enjoy people who are...
Go into the bathroom. Hey, I know you guys are European. Wait a minute. Let me try that again. I know right now you guys are European. No. I know European, but I'm a skiing with one leg.
American. With one leg. What was the last question? What is the best gift I can give my future husband as a single woman? I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
I think you need to become the holiest person that you can be.
Yeah.
And you don't need to worry about, oh, I need to write all these letters or I need to.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that. Yeah.
Don't worry about any of that. Just grow in holiness as much as you possibly can. Cultivate a life of charity. Cultivate a life of silence. Cultivate peace in your life. Start to root out the things that you know are weighing you down, that you know will harm you in a marriage. You can't prepare for everything, but what you can do is like just take an honest look at yourself and say like, well, I really have these bad habits that I know I'm gonna have to get rid of eventually. And so I might as well start now. If you come into marriage with already a habitual disposition to do the good towards the poor, towards other people, towards children, towards yourself, you know, you make time for God on your own without anybody telling you to. It's like you're in pretty good shape.
And then how is being a stay-at-home single woman a legit vocation? I don't know.
Is being single a vocation?
That's a tough. Wait, hold on. A stay-at-home single woman. How are you going to make money? Are you going to work from home?
Right.
Consecrated virginity is a reality.
Yes, but usually that's in community. Tentative no, but I would just need to know more about what.
If you are single and you're a woman and you don't have a boyfriend or a potential religious vocation, that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong.
It just might not be a vocation per se.
Yeah. I mean,
there's certainly holy single people who were not religious that were consecrated that are or even not consecrated. So there's nothing wrong with being single, but you can't just remain in like a non-committed, open to marriage, open to religious life. Like you can't stay there forever because that's not.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. At a certain point, you have to be like, yep, I'm not.
Right. And you can stay at home. Nothing wrong with staying at home. Nothing wrong with working if you're a woman. But just what makes the most sense? Like you got to use your reason there.
Yeah.
Because I don't know your situation. So
cool. So that was the end of we basically answered every question.
We are
ever
so
there.
Good at podcasting.
Oh my gosh. People who pays more, you guys gotta pay us so much money. Okay.
Tell the people what they need to know about our show.
If you thought this episode was worth a dollar or more, $5 a month, patreon.com. Adds up to about a dollar an episode. We really appreciate it. We would love to be able to make this podcast more of a real job than it is now. And so that Patreon is a big part of that. If you can't do that, it honestly super helps to leave a review on iTunes and Spotify. It seriously does. It helps with visibility. Yes. So please, if you haven't done that yet, or if you haven't done it recently, do it again. And if you don't listen on Spotify, go over there anyway. If you don't listen on iTunes, go over there anyway. And then finally, I like this podcast more now that we have a community that's there.
I used to just think it was me and Patrick. I was like, man, this is lonely island.
I think the Discord has become the inevitable catalyst of us taking the podcast to the next level because we have so many people who are like, we want you to, so please do it. Like, we want you to do more, so please do more. So please, please, please join the Discord because we want you to help us drive this to a place that's going to be fun for everybody. So join the Discord, bit.ly/crunchdiscord. If you boost the Discord, we can get our own Discord link. But I'm not going to ask you to do that because that's too many calls to action. Here's what you do. Pick one of those calls to action. Do one today. Don't do all of them. You're going to forget. bit.ly/crunch discord, patreon.com/thecrunch, iTunes or Spotify review, please. That's it.
There are very good odds that by this time next week, your child will be out the womb.
That's true.
So say some prayers for Patrick and Phoebe and baby Leo Nevi, name drop on the pod. I think we've done that already, but
I think so. We haven't met him though. So if he looks like a Patrick, we're probably just gonna name him Patrick the Fourth.
Oh, you have to do that. I mean, I love the name Leo. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Patrick the Fourth is so powerful and right? strong. Like, I don't know anybody who's a fourth generation
fourth.
Anything.
A fourth, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like not even named the Fourth, but like I only know people with grandparents. I don't know if anybody that I know has great grandparents. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Dead or alive. Like America started in 1945. Right. And so to imply that something exists before then, pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Pretty cool to be like, oh, I'm the fourth.
Everybody's pushing for Patrick. We'll see. We'll meet him first.
Patrick Nevi the First was like born in 1614, you know? Like that's wild to me.
That's not true.
And then you're the Third. And then the Fourth, he's going to be born in 2022.
He was born, my grandfather was born in 1920 something.
That's nuts, dude. And his grandfather was born probably in like 1902.
No, 1930 something. No, his grandfather was born in the 1800s.
That's awesome. So pray for Patrick, pray for the baby, and pray for Emma if you're thinking about praying for pregnant people. We're all about that. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Just gotta remember one of the bits. Name some bits that we did.
We did the joke about the olives. We did the joke about Bill Gates. We did the joke about the Avengers. We did the joke about Elon Musk at the beginning putting the internet on Mars and people wanting Mars Tinder.
Hold on. Okay.
Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Support the Crunch on Patreon so that we can be the first and only podcast on Mars.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you, and we will see you all next week. Bum 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 bum.